This greatness is due to his affection for his devotee. It is because of this affection that the goddess of fortune does not leave him, and that not only one, but many thousands of goddesses of fortune engage in his service. In the material world, simply to get a little favor from the goddess of fortune, people observe many rigid regulations of austerity and penance. The Lord cannot tolerate any inconvenience to the part of the devotee. He is therefore famous as Bhakta Vatsala. So, Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is speaking to the Kumaras in this way. Actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very fond of his devotees. Actually, Krishna does not lack anything. Krishna has everything. And Krishna doesn't really need anything, either in the material nature or in the spiritual nature. But Krishna hankers for one thing. Krishna is hungry for one thing, that is love. And it is to experience that loving exchange that Krishna expanded himself into many. He eko bohunam ja bidadhatu kaman. He, although he is one and without a second, he expanded himself into bohunam, into many, simply to experience the loving exchange. And when a living entity loves Krishna, then Krishna reciprocates in the most wonderful way. So here we can see in this verse, Krishna is saying that all good qualities that he has is due to the fact that he is a servitor to his devotees. Whereas Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and whatever good qualities a devotee acquires is simply due to his becoming a devotee of Krishna. But here we can see Krishna is saying that whatever good qualities he has is because of his attachment to his devotees, because he is fond of his devotees, and because he is the servant of his. He is a servant of his devotees. And Krishna is saying that he acquired such good qualities that because he is a servant to his devotees, that's why his feet has become so auspicious that whenever anyone comes in contact with his feet, becomes purified from all his sins. And so this is how Krishna glorifies his devotees. And in this way we can see how elevated is the position of Krishna's devotees. Krishna becomes subordinate, Krishna becomes inferior to his devotees. Krishna takes a secondary position. Although Krishna is inconquerable, but still he becomes defeated by his devotees. Although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one without a second, still, in spite of being the Supreme Person, Krishna is subordinate to his devotees. That's why Rupa Goswami mentions in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that Krishna doesn't want to give devotion so easily. Krishna gives liberation very easily, but he doesn't want to give devotion. Why? Because by devotional service, Krishna becomes purchased. Krishna gets sold out. Krishna sells himself out with the price of devotional service. Therefore, it is actually a very, very precious thing. Devotional service is the most precious thing. It is so precious that it can even buy the Supreme Personality of Godhead out. Devotional service can buy Krishna. Krishna, who is the supreme proprietor, who is the Supreme Person, can be bought with the price of devotion. Therefore, we can well imagine how rare, how precious this devotional service is. Hold out to us. That is how rare and how precious devotional service is. And that's why Krishna doesn't want to give devotional service to anyone and everyone. Jai Shri Radha Radha Nath Ki Jai Jai. Therefore, Rupa Goswami mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in Nectar of Devotion, that Muktim Dadati Karhi Chit. Krishna gives liberation very easily, but he's very, very careful about giving anyone devotional service. It is so precious. Devotional service is extremely rare, extremely precious. And that's why we see that in other ages, devotional service was very, very rare. People did not have the idea how precious devotional service is. When one attained the highest platform of spiritual perfection, then only one could attain devotional service, not otherwise. In other ages, devotional service was kept, bhakti was kept as the most hidden secret. That's why in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentioned in the 9th chapter, Raja Vidya, Raja Gujjam, Pavitram Hi Etad Uttamam. That Raja Vidya, this is the king of knowledge, and Raja Gujjam, and it is the most secret object. It is so precious that it was kept in a very, very secret way. Like not anyone and everyone had access to it. It is so rare, but in the age of Kali, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it available to anyone and everyone. Actually, this devotional service is rare even for Brahma, even for Lord Shiva. Pure devotional service in Madhurja, Ras, Prema Bhakti, loving devotional service was rare for Brahma, Shiva, even for Lakshmi. Lakshmi, although she is the wife of Narayan, Lakshmi doesn't have entry to Vrindavan in Krishna's loving devotional service. Very intimate, conjugal loving devotional service in Parokya Rasa. Like the loving exchange between a lover and a beloved. So Lakshmi Devi performed great austerities for a long, long time to get an entry to Krishna's Rasa band in Vrindavan. But she didn't get it. Because the only way one can enter into that Rasa Leela is by the mercy of a gopi. So that is how rare this Krishna consciousness is. That's how rare this loving devotional service to Krishna is. But when Rupa Goswami saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is distributing that Krishna consciousness so easily to anyone and everyone, without any restriction, without any condition, completely unconditionally it is being distributed. So Rupa Goswami recognized that this must be Krishna himself. Because who else but Krishna can distribute this Krishna consciousness in this way? When this Krishna consciousness is rare for anyone and everyone, so who else but Krishna himself can distribute? So Rupa Goswami prayed, Rupa Goswami announced, broadcasted, the Namo Mahavadannaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurattishe Namaha. That I offer my respectful obeisances unto this Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none other than Krishna himself. Krishnaya, Krishna Chaitanya Namne, who is Krishna, has appeared as Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gaurattiche Nama. Why? Because he is distributing this Krishna Prem so easily. Namo Mahavadanaya, Krishna Prema Pradayata, who is distributing Krishna Prem. And as a result of the distribution, anyone and everyone can become a devotee of Krishna. And not only just an ordinary devotee, the devotee of the highest order. And Krishna is telling here that he becomes purchased by such devotees. This love is so precious and this love is so dear to Krishna. Krishna is so fond of this love. Krishna hankers for this love so much so that he offers himself completely to anyone who loves him through this loving devotional service. So, this is, position of a devotee is very, very rare, and the devotees are very, very elevated. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the position of a devotee has been very wonderfully described, and we can also see here Krishna himself is glorifying the position of a devotee. Time and time again Krishna does that. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna has glorified his devotees without any restriction. And then when we go to Krishna's pastimes, when we become exposed to Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan through Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see what kind of exchange the devotees have in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, devotees, his friends, his lovers, treat him in such a way that which undoubtedly displays the most elevated loving exchange between lovers and beloved. And here, the lover is the devotee and beloved is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And sometimes that reciprocation changes. The devotee becomes the beloved and the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes the lover. Although apparently the Lord is the Supreme Beloved, but actually in this loving exchange, the Lord becomes the lover and his devotees become the beloved. Krishna allows his devotees to treat him just as an ordinary person. Therefore, Mother Jasoda chastises Krishna, chases him with a stick in her hand. Why? Because Krishna stole butter. The Supreme Personality of Godhead stole a little bit of butter. And as a result of that, the mother, Jasoda, is chastising him. And this is the iti driksha lilabhir ananda kunde shaghosham nimajjanta makkhapayanta. The Lord performs such wonderful pastimes, iti driksha lilabhir. And performing these wonderful pastimes, he submerged his devotees in an ocean of ecstasy. Mother Jashoda is chastising Krishna. It is not causing pain in Krishna's heart, but it is flooding Krishna's heart with ecstasy. Krishna enjoys this chastisement from his mother. And although he enjoys, but he acts in such a wonderful way. Krishna actually is not only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna also is the Supreme Actor. There is no one as good an actor as Krishna is. Although he is fooling around with his mother, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is just playing some pastimes with his mother, Mother Jashoda. He became angry that his mother was feeding him, and then all of a sudden she remembered that the milk was boiling and it may spill over. So she dropped Krishna and ran to take care of the milk. And that milk also she was boiling for Krishna. Actually, Mother Jashoda used to wonder why Krishna goes to other gopis' house to steal butter and milk. She started to wonder why Krishna is going to others and stealing, others' houses and stealing. Maybe the milk in my house is not good enough. So she selected the best cows and she took special care to get the milk from those cows, and she was boiling that milk. But in the meantime, when the milk was boiling, she was breastfeeding Krishna. And then then all of a sudden Mother Jashoda remembered that maybe the milk will spill over. So she stopped breastfeeding Krishna and ran to take care of the milk, and Krishna became angry. Oh, my mother was feeding me and she left me like this, as if the milk was more important than I am. And Krishna's face literally turned, lips curled with pride and anger. Not exactly pride, Obhiman is loving anger, one can say. Like, my mother was taking care of me, now my mother left me like this. So Krishna, his lips curled in such anguish that his mother left him like that. Anguish, it's actually a mixture of anguish and anger. And tears came streaming down his eyes. But he didn't cry out loud. He suppressed his cry, and he wanted to do something so nasty that to teach his mother a lesson. So he thought, oh, you are taking care of the cows, taking care of the milk. And with this milk, what will you do? You will make yogurt, and from yogurt you'll make butter. So the essence of milk is butter. And that butter was kept hanging from the ceiling in a rope net. The pot was hanging suspended in a rope net made of rope. So Krishna climbed up the mortar, climbed onto the mortar and started taking out those pots. And he ate some butter, but how much could he eat? He was just a little child. So one or two handfuls filled up his belly, although Krishna's belly is inconceivable. The entire creation is in his belly. But anyway, as I said, Krishna was acting. And then he called the monkeys and he fed the monkeys. Started feeding. Monkeys are also very dear to Krishna. Because in his another pastime, in his Ramchandra pastime, the monkeys helped him. Therefore, the monkeys are very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he fed the monkeys and then he broke the pots. And in the meantime, Mother Jashoda came back into the room, and she saw that the pots of butter were broken and scattered all over the room. The butter is scattered all over the room. The monkeys were feeding, monkeys were eating from the broken pots. So she became very angry. She thought, this child is impossible. And in her anger, she wanted to chastise. She realized that it must be the doing of Krishna. So she picked up a cane, and then she saw Krishna hiding in the corner of the room. So she tried to catch Krishna, and Krishna ran. And Mother Jashoda also ran after Krishna. Little Krishna is running and Mother Yashoda is running. So who will ever imagine that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And not only that, Mother Yashoda was quite elderly, and it is described her hips were heavy and her breasts were heavy, so she was feeling tired running. She was a woman, so she couldn't run for very long. And so Krishna thought, okay, let me just... So finally, Mother Yashoda could catch Krishna. And so when Mother Yashoda caught Krishna, and with Krishna saw the stick in his mother's hand, so Krishna became afraid. And he started to cry. Rudantam muhur netram jugmam mrijantam karam bhoja jugmena shatanka netram. Rudantam muhur netram. The tears were flowing incessantly from his eyes. Jugmam mrijantam and karam bhoja jugmena shatanka netram. And his eyes were fearful, shatanka. Atanko means fear. His eyes were full of fear that his mother now caught him. The mother has the stick in her hand, so the mother is going to beat him up. So he started to cry out of fear, and in the back of his hand he started to wipe his tears. So this is how the Supreme Personality of Godhead was exchanging a loving relationship with his devotees. The friends of Krishna would chastise Krishna sometimes. They would wrestle with Krishna, and the condition was that whoever would be defeated will have to carry the winner on his back. So Krishna would wrestle with his friend like Shridham, and Krishna would be defeated by Shridham. And then he'll have to carry Shridham on his back, go for a round. And Shridham would enjoy being ridden on his back like someone rides on a horseback. Shridham was riding on Krishna's back. Sometimes Madhu Mangal would tell Krishna, Krishna, your behavior is not all right, you know. You are a Vaishya and I am a Brahmin, and you do not show enough respect to me. Then Krishna would tell him, well, you would be a Brahmin, but you know who I am? Then Madhu Mangal would say, yes, we know you're the son of Nanda Maharaj. You may be the son of the king of the cowherd men, but after all, my position is superior to yours. And Krishna says, well, it's not only that I am the son of Nanda Maharaj, the king of the cowherd men, but consider, you see, a man should be recognized not by his birth, but by his activities. So consider the activities that I have performed. You see, when I was just 3 days old, I killed that ferocious witch, Putana. Then, when I was 1 year old, I killed Trinavarta. When I was only 6 years old, I lifted Govardhan. Then, what to speak of subduing Kaliya and so on and so forth. So Madhu Mangal would say, oh, you think that you did all those activities? Actually, it is because of my chanting of the mantra that all those wonderful things happened. But see, you are so conceited that you are thinking that you did all those things. You see, when you lifted Govardhan, it was not you. Actually, Nanda Maharaj, Balaram and other gopas were propping it up with the sticks. And as far as subduing Kaliya is concerned, Kali actually got you. Kali would have finished you off. But then I started to chant the mantra. The mantra to defeat a snake. And as a result of that, Kaliya lost all his potency. And Kaliya let you lose. Kaliya became so afraid of my chanting of mantra. And then, of course, you stood up when you got freed, and you stood up and you started dancing on Kaliya's head. But don't you realize that it's actually due to my chanting of the mantra that you are saved? So in this way, Krishna would have his loving exchange with his devotees. And then Krishna would finally say, oh, that's true then. It's actually you who actually have been saving me time and time again. Then the gopis would, sometimes Radharani would get angry with Krishna and tell Krishna that I will never ever see that point. If she tells Lalita, that Lalita and Vishakha, that never let that boy come close to me, come near me. And she would simply refuse to see Krishna. Now who can ever imagine what kind of loving exchange they have with the Lord, that the Lord becomes sudden submissive to them? Who can ever say that that I don't want to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead? I don't want to have anything to do with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Apparently, it appears to be a demoniac statement that I do not want to have anything to do with the Lord, with Krishna. But it is an expression of supreme love. She calls Krishna by all kinds of names. That you are a cheater, you are a liar, you are... Now who can deal with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this way? Only those who are very close to Him, very dear to Him. I mean, you can see that no ordinary person can deal with a king in such familiar way. But king's children, king's wife, king's lovers, king's friends can do that. Similarly, although it is not possible for anybody to deal with the Supreme King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this way, but those who are very dear to Him, very close to Him, can deal with Him in this way. Therefore, Krishna is admitting here that He becomes sold out to His devotees. And whatever good qualities He has is because of His devotion to His devotees. My feet has become sanctified because I rendered service to my devotees. Lakshmi Devi has become so favorable towards me because I have rendered some auspicious activities by serving these devotees. That's what Krishna is telling here. That although Brahma and everybody else performs severe austerities and penances to receive a little favor from Lakshmi Devi, but that Lakshmi Devi never leaves me. That Lakshmi Devi has become extremely favorable towards me. Why? Because I have rendered some service to my devotees. So that is the reciprocation of love. This is how the Supreme Personality of Godhead reciprocates with His devotees. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? So, from tomorrow I decided I'll start a new policy. Before the class, I'll give everybody a piece of paper and a pen. So if you feel shy to ask questions, at least I think you don't feel shy to write a question. So Nanda Kumar Prabhu received some questionnaires, the papers from Port Elizabeth. So he'll distribute them tomorrow. And I'll request you all to bring a pen with you. And I want to have a lot of questions. Because if the questions are not there, at times it makes me wonder whether I was speaking to a wall or maybe my class was so disgusting that no one feels like asking a question. So, anyway, from tomorrow, get ready. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Dhinaye. Nashta Praishu Abhadreshu. Nittam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhakti Bhavati Nishiti. Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 16. Joy and Vijaya First by the Sages, Text 9. Translation by His Divine Guru Srila Prabhupada. I am the master of my unobstructed internal energy, and the water of the Ganges is the remnant left after my feet are washed. That water sanctifies the three worlds along with Lord Shiva. He bears it on his head. If I can take the dust of the feet of the Vaishnava on my head, who resists this man? If I take the dust of the feet of the Vaishnava on my head, who will refuse to do the same? Please repeat after me. I am the master of my unobstructed internal energy. And the water of the Ganges is the remnant left after my feet are washed. That water sanctifies the three worlds. Along with Lord Shiva, who bears it on his head. If I can take the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas on my head, who will refuse to do the same? Purport by His Divine Guru Prabhupada. The difference between the internal and external energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is that in the internal energy or in the spiritual world, all the opulences are undisturbed. Whereas in the external or material energy, all the opulences are temporary negation. The Lord Supremacy is equal in both the spiritual and material world. But the spiritual world is called the kingdom of God, and the material world is called the kingdom of Maya. Maya refers to that which is not actually fact. The opulence of the material world is a reflection. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita
that this material world is just like a tree whose roots are up and branches down. This means that the material world is a shadow of the spiritual world. Real opulence is in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, the predominating deity is the Lord Himself. Whereas in the material world, there are many lords. That is the difference between the internal and external energy. The Lord says that although He is the predominating factor of the internal energy, and although the material world is sanctified just by the water that has washed His feet, He has the greatest respect for the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. When the Lord Himself offers so much respect to the Vaishnavas and the Brahmanas, how can one deny such respect for such personality? So, once again, the Lord is glorifying the position, the elevated position of His devotee. He's pointing out that although He is the controller of both His internal energy and external energy, and although the greatest of all demigods, Mahadev, Lord Shiva, the feet, the water that is washed, Jaya Shri Radha Radha. He is the Lord of His both internal and external energy. And the Ganges, after washing His feet, when comes down to this earth, sanctifies the three worlds. And Lord Shiva, the greatest of the demigods, holds the Ganges on His head. Still, the Lord takes the dust from the feet of His devotees. Now, if the Supreme Personality of Godhead does that, if He takes the dust from the lotus, from the feet of His devotees, then who will not take the dust of such great personality? And in the purport, Prabhupada pointed out the difference between your internal energy or spiritual side and His external energy, the material nature. Prabhupada, time and time again, pointed out the difference. The basic difference between the material nature and spiritual nature is that in the spiritual nature, Krishna puts Himself. Krishna is the center of everything. And that is the reality. In reality, God is the center of everything. Krishna is the center of everything. But in the material nature, the living entities put themselves as the center. They actually try to take over the position of the Supreme Personality of God. And they make all kinds of endeavor to become the Lord. They try to acquire a lot of money so that with money they can manipulate this material nature. They want to have other kind of resources to exploit the material nature. And finally, they want to attain yoga siddhi, to control the material. Actually, to attain yoga siddhi is the highest form of exploitation of this material nature. When one attains yoga siddhi, he can do all kinds of wonderful things. He can become the lighter than the lightest. He can become the heavier than the heaviest. Not heavier than the heaviest, rather. He can become very light. Actually, God is lighter than the lightest and heavier than the heaviest. He is greater than the greatest and smaller than the smallest. Therefore, Krishna has been considered to be the Yogeshwar, the Lord of the Yogis, or the greatest of all Yogis. But the living entities try to imitate the Supreme Personality of Godhead and acquire those powers. The power to become very light, power to become very heavy, power to become very small, power to become very big, power to mesmerize others and control them, kama vashayita. Through this yoga siddhi, the yogis can mesmerize people and make them act according to his desire. A yogi can mesmerize a millionaire and make him sign a check to hand over all his assets to him. The yogis have that kind of power. And yogis have power to do things according to their will. Prabhupada once gave an example, like he saw one yogi who stretched his hand and he got him a pomegranate, a very nice, juicy, red pomegranate. Now the pomegranates actually grow in Afghanistan, that kind of pomegranate. They grow pomegranates in India also, but they are not so red and not so big. They're kind of brownish, although quite sweet, but the best pomegranate you get is from Afghanistan. And those days things were not really exported transported as they are doing now. Like now you can, sitting in Europe, you can get pomegranates from Afghanistan, kiwi fruits from New Zealand, avocados from Hawaii. You get all kinds of food transported or exported to different countries nowadays. But those days, it was not possible. When Prabhupada was a young man, so Prabhupada could see that the man actually got the pomegranate from Afghanistan. How did he get it? He stretched his hand all the way up to Afghanistan and picked the pomegranate and brought it. So the yogis have this kind of power. But what does it actually mean? It's a form of exploitation. They're just trying to exploit the material nature. So this is the worst form of becoming, the worst kind of tendency to become the Lord and Master. When somebody cannot control this material nature with money, it happens. Many people in India, why in India, even in the West, after they become frustrated in their endeavors to exploit the material nature, then they try to acquire mystic power. Many people used to go from Europe and America, and I'm sure still they are going to acquire mystic powers in India. They have been unsuccessful in exploiting this material nature by acquiring money. They have been unsuccessful in exploiting the material nature by their physical strength. Now they are trying to depend upon supernatural power to exploit the material. And ultimately what they're trying to become like Krishna. They're trying to exploit the material nature, control this material nature, just as Krishna does. And Krishna alone can do it. When Krishna does it, then it is not an exploitation. When the proper proprietor tries to enjoy something, then it is not exploitation. When there is an illegal, unlawful endeavor to exploit, to enjoy something, control something, then it is exploitation. So Krishna is the supreme controller, and besides Krishna, whoever tries to enjoy this material nature is an exploiter, is a thief. And that principle has been very wonderfully established in the very beginning of Isha-Upanishad. Isha-Upanishad actually is the foremost of all Upanishads, next to Gita-Upanishad. Because this Isha-Upanishad directly glorifies Param Ishvara, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the first verse of Isha-Upanishad is actually described. Isha-Upanishad actually is the foremost of all Upanishads, next to Gita-Upanishad. Because this Isha-Upanishad directly glorifies Param Ishvara, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the first verse of Isha-Upanishad is actually describing Isha Vashtam Idam Sarvam. Everything belongs to the Supreme Sense, some quota for every living entity. Jaskincha Jagatandam. Everyone has been given some quota for their for his maintenance. And Teno Taktena Vanchita. And everyone should be satisfied with whatever quota has been given to him. And Ma Vriha Pashtashitana. And never ever hanker or covet other stuff. And you can see when we just sit down peacefully and we wonder how much we got, then we can see Krishna has given us more than enough. Krishna has given us more than enough. Everyone has enough to survive. Not only survive, live in this world happily, peacefully, and become engaged in Krishna's service. But unfortunately, in this material nature, no one is satisfied, especially the human being. The human being's greatest flaw is his avarice, is his greed. A human being is never satisfied. Most of the human beings. A person becomes satisfied only when he becomes a devotee. Because when he becomes a devotee, then he sees that he doesn't have to worry about anything. He has more than enough. But otherwise, human beings, because they're intelligent, they realize their insecure position in this material nature. They realize how insecure they are in this material nature. Therefore, they have a natural, inherent tendency to secure themselves in this material nature. They have become aware of the fact, padam padam jat vipadam natesham, that at every step there is danger. Therefore, he tries to secure himself. But how does he try to secure himself? How does he try to secure himself? He tries to secure himself by making some material adjustments. He thinks that if he has money, then he'll be able to secure himself. He thinks if he has a lot of material possession, he'll be able to secure himself. He has a lot of friends around him or dependable family members around him. He'll be secure. But ultimately, no one is secure in this material nature. Because the condition of this material nature is very, very insecure. Therefore, unless and until one takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, which means unless and until one transcends the material platform, he cannot become secure. And all the Vedic literatures, all the scriptures are giving us that direction, that instruction. That don't try to secure yourself by making all kinds of material adjustments. If you really want to secure yourself, then just become surrendered to Krishna. Now, as I was saying, that human beings are intelligent, somewhat intelligent, and due to their intelligence, they become aware of their insecure position. But the animals or subhuman species are even not aware of that fact, that they are insecure. They are happily enjoying their lives. We can see how free the animals are from anxiety. In this material nature, more intelligent you are, more prone you are to material anxiety. And less intelligent you are, the more oblivious or more free you are from anxiety. Therefore, they say that ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is bliss in a fool's paradise. The people in this material nature, those who are completely foolish, and they are blissful. Because they do not realize that at any moment their life will be terminated. Prabhupada gives the example of the goats being slaughtered. But the other goat, whose term is just in a few seconds who is going to be slaughtered, he is not aware of the danger that's facing him. He very peacefully, happily, he eats the grass. So it is not appropriate to feel secure in this material nature. We see less intelligent people or unintelligent people, how they're carrying on with their day-to-day materialistic activities. And they feel very happy and satisfied. Oh, I have so much money in the bank, I have my beautiful, faithful wife, I have such obedient children, and I have so many friends. So, I am happy. Why should I join Hare Krishna? Why should I become a Hare Krishna? I'm not suffering. But they don't realize that any moment, all that arrangements they made will be snapped. Their bank balance, their friends, their family, everything will be taken away, just in a fraction of a second. Therefore, it takes an intelligent man to become spiritually inclined. Or in plain and simple words, it takes an intelligent man to join Krishna consciousness movement. When one realizes that his position in this material nature is very, very precarious, when he realizes that this material nature is not a place where anyone can be secure, therefore the best thing is to transcend the material nature. And how can one do that? Just by accepting Krishna. Instead of putting ourselves in the center, we have to simply put Krishna in the center. Then this apparently material nature will be transformed into spiritual nature. If we just put Krishna in the center, then this nature will not be material any longer. This nature will be transformed into spiritual nature. So the secret of transcending this material nature and entering into the spiritual sky is simply to put Krishna in the center. Jat karosi, jadat nasi, jat juhasi dadasi jat, jat tapashoshi ponteya, tat purusha madarpa. Krishna's very simple instruction. Jat karosi, whatever you do, jadat nasi, whatever you eat, jat juhasi, whatever you offer in sacrifice, dadasi jat, whatever you give in charity, jat tapashyoshi, and whatever austerities you perform, you do them, you offer them to me. So this is the process that Krishna has given to transform this material nature into spiritual. And that's what the devotees have been asked to do. Just accept Krishna as the supreme proprietor, supreme enjoyer, and offer everything to him. Food, which is so vital, so essential for everyone. but offer this food first to Krishna. And what happens when you offer it to Krishna? Krishna doesn't eat everything up and leave nothing. Actually, Krishna gives us back whatever we offer to him. Actually, he gives us even more. The food that was full of sin, after offering to Krishna, becomes sinless. Not only sinless, the food actually becomes empowered with Krishna's potency, so that it can purify us from all our sinful reactions. That is the benefit of offering things to Krishna. There is no loss in offering to Krishna. If we offer something to Krishna, we won't lose anything, but we'll gain so much that we cannot even imagine. So jat karoti, whatever we do, we must do for Krishna. Jadashnati, whatever we eat, we must offer to Krishna. Whatever we give in charity, whatever austerities we perform, should all be done, should all be offered to Krishna. Then what will happen? Then the world that we are in will become transformed into spiritual sky. Then it won't be material anymore, because just by putting Krishna in the center, we have transformed this material nature into spiritual sky. Then only we'll be able to think about Krishna all the time. Man manabhava, mad bhakto, mad jaji manamushti. Then only we'll be able to give up all nonsense activities and become engaged in serving Krishna. So there lies the perfection of our existence. To get out of this miserable material nature, get out of this unwanted suffering in this material nature, and be elevated, transported to the spiritual sky. And anyone can do that. Anyone. Irrespective of his caste, creed, qualification, we do not need anything, any material qualification to become a devotee of Krishna. The only qualification that's necessary is surrender. We simply have to surrender. And therefore, it is easier for a person who is humble to become a devotee. The spiritual nature is not for arrogant and conceited people. The spiritual nature is for the humble, submissive, surrendered soul. Spiritual nature is wide open for those who are willing to be surrendered to Krishna, willing to be surrendered to Krishna's devotees. So as soon as one becomes surrendered to a devotee, surrendered to Krishna, surrendered to the assembly of those devotees, he is immediately transported to the spiritual sky. Although his body may be in the material nature, but he is in the spiritual sky. So Krishna here emphatically pointed out that he himself takes the dust from the lotus feet of his devotee. So who will not? Who is greater than Krishna? Greater than Krishna? Krishna is the greatest, but still he takes the dust from the feet of his devotee. So Krishna, in this way, Krishna is teaching us, Krishna is reminding us that the secret of spiritual success is in being submissive to the devotee. Just being submissive to Krishna is not enough. The best thing is to become submissive to Krishna's devotees. And when one becomes submissive to Krishna's devotees, then Krishna becomes very pleased automatically. Okay, so thank you very much. Good idea. So, some questions. So the question is, Maharaj, the last time you were here, you mentioned that the lowest part of the body are the feet and the forehead is the topmost. Why is the mercy at the feet? Because in order to approach the Lord, we have to become submissive. We have to become small. Now, if we are small, then how shall we approach His head? Therefore, we approach His feet. Krishna allowed all His mercy to settle at His feet, so that the humble soul can very easily approach His feet and receive as much as they want. This is from Balabhadra Prabhu. The next question is, Maharaj, if one is preparing an offering for the deities and burns the preparation, is it offerable? Well, it depends what the preparation is, what the preparation actually is. Like some preparations, they are nicer when they are burnt. Like Prabhupada taught me one preparation. That's the first thing Prabhupada actually taught me to cook. It's called Bati Chachari. And it was, the preparation was deliberately burnt. And it's very delicious actually. Prabhupada used to like it very much. But, so that preparation, if it is burnt, then it is more delicious. But if milk is burnt, then it can never be used. Because burnt milk, it doesn't matter what you do with it, you can't get rid of the burnt smell. Main consideration is that we must offer Krishna the best. So if something is not palatable, if something is not appropriate for offering, then you should not offer it to Krishna. Like to simplify, I can say, like, if you have a very important guest in your house, do you offer him anything and everything? No. If you have a very important guest in your house, then you try to offer him the best. Now, who can be more important a guest than Krishna? So we must be very, very careful when we are serving him. Another thing that reminds me is that often I notice that sometimes devotees drop things in the altar, especially when they're dressing the deity. And it's actually very, very unfortunate. It is said that when you drop something, then Lakshmi Devi disappears from that place. That means Lakshmi Devi becomes very, when Lakshmi Devi sees that our service to Krishna, or rather when Radharani sees that our service to Krishna is not sincere enough, then she becomes very disappointed. And when Radharani leaves, Krishna will also leave. So we must be very, very careful when we are serving Krishna, that we must serve him with full attention. I mean, I can't imagine if I drop something in front of Prabhupada, then what Prabhupada would have done to me. If someone closed the door a little inattentively and made some noise, Prabhupada used to become furious. Therefore, we must be very, very careful when we are serving Krishna. And it is our duty to remind everybody how Krishna should be served. there should not be any discrepancy in our service. We must remember that we have invited the Supreme Personality of Godhead here. And we are very, very fortunate that we got a chance to serve Him. Therefore, we must be very, very careful in His service. So, next question looks like from Bimal Prasad Prabhu, although the name is not there. Sri Jagannath Das Babaji was famous as a Maha Siddha as well as a Bhakta. Are Siddhis a byproduct of Bhakti? How are they to be used?
Yeah. That Siddha, what Jagannath Das Babaji had, was not actually Yoga Siddhi. He had Siddhi in devotion. That means he was a perfected devotee. Siddhi literally means perfection. Now by yoga perfection, one attains power. But with perfection of devotion, one attains Krishna. Now, yes, the yoga perfections are also manifest in devotees. The devotees don't usually use them. Only in some rare occasions they use them. You see, since devotional service is higher than Ashtanga Yoga, when one attains perfection in devotion, he automatically attains those mystic perfections also. But a devotee, why a devotee, even a yogi who is serious about spiritual advancement, will never misutilize them. But there are instances when devotees will display some mystic power. Like for example, Prabhupada displayed mystic power by spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Right? How can anyone ever spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world in just 7-8 years time? Prabhupada used to say that the greatest miracle is actually this. But people are so stupid that they don't recognize. They're more impressed when somebody makes some ash. I mean, they can get heaps of ash. There's no dearth of ash in this world, right? But when somebody makes some ash, they get very impressed. So much so that they call him Bhagavan. But Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness all over the world and made all kinds of people into devotees of Krishna. But these fools do not have the eyes to see that. But there are some apparent display of mystic power also. Like one Shyamananda Prabhu. Shyamananda Prabhu was a contemporary of Narottam Das Thakur and a friend of Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam, Srinivas and Shyamananda are three stalwart acharyas of that time, soon after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Shyamananda Prabhu had a disciple called Rashikananda, his main disciple. He was actually the son of a king, Rashikananda, and he became a disciple of Shyamananda Prabhu. So one day, so Rashikananda Prabhu became a devotee, full-time, you know, completely surrendered Vaishnava. So one day, one morning, Rashikananda Prabhu was brushing his teeth with a neem twig and sitting on a broken part of the wall. So, you know, like when the old wall breaks, you know, some bricks are together. So he was just sitting on that and he was brushing his teeth. So someone came and told him, "Did you hear some yogi came last night or yesterday riding on a tiger?" So Rashikananda Prabhu said, "Oh, is it so? So let me go and see him." So, and he went flying to see the man sitting on that, the way he was sitting on the piece of brick. The bricks actually carried him. He went flying, sitting on those bricks.
to see the see that yogi. He was actually a Muslim yogi who attained perfection, and he actually became a follower of Rishikanda. The man came, I mean, he was a very powerful person. He tamed the tiger, and he used to go from place to place riding on the tiger. That's also another kind of mystic power. Here you hear some such mystic feats performed by some devotees also. And Prabhupada said that, of course I didn't hear it directly from Prabhupada, I heard it through someone. The Prabhupada said that three generations from our devotees will be born with, our children will be born with mystic power. They'll be so pure that they'll be born with mystic power. So the main thing is that the devotee doesn't use those mystic powers. As a matter of fact, these mystic powers are obstructions, obstacles to yoga perfection. You see, as one makes advancement in Ashtanga Yoga, material nature or Maya actually puts this hardware in front of the yogi by Allah offering him. So, take this power. And if he uses the power, then his progress will be hindered. And higher he goes, greater becomes the power. So ultimately, the ultimate thing is actually having the same sort of, you know, opulence as Krishna, as Shashti. The yogis get that, you know, almost similar to Krishna's power. I mean, apparently, from our mundane perception, it may appear, because no one can be equal to Krishna. But they become so powerful that it appears that they become almost as powerful as the Supreme Personality. So, any other questions? Anyway, something is better than nothing. Hare Krishna, all glory to Krishna Prabhupada. That Krishna was taking with his hand, but what he took became filled up again. So this is how, although Krishna ate the whole mountain of offerings, but the offering was, the prasad, it was still standing there as Krishna's prasad. So then everybody got the remnant. So Gopal was very fond of Madhavendra Puri. So one day, in summertime, Vrindavan gets very hot. So Gopal told Madhavendra Puri, Madhavendra Puri, I'm feeling very hot. You please do something about it. So Madhavendra Puri asked him, what can I do? So Gopal said, if you can smear some sandalwood paste mixed with camphor, then I'll feel cool. So Madhavendra Puri said, but where can I really find camphor in Vrindavan and sandalwood and camphor? So Gopal said, you can get camphor and sandalwood in Neelacham, in Jagannath Puri. And that is another end of India. So Madhavendra Puri said, but that's such a long distance. How shall I get it from there? So he said, you can go and get it. So Madhavendra Puri said, I'm an old man. How can I go and get that? He said, no, only you can get it. If you go, only you can get it, and then I'll accept it. So Madhavendra Puri said, okay, since you want, I'll go. So this old Madhavendra Puri, he walked all the way from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri. So this is how the devotees reciprocate to the Lord's desire. Although he was an old man, but he didn't care. Because Krishna wanted it, he walked all the way, and he was willing, he was ready to carry a load of sandalwood and camphor. So on the way, he stopped at Shantipur and he stayed at the house of Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya was very happy to meet him. And Advaita Acharya took initiation from Madhavendra Puri. And at that time, Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata also invited Madhavendra Puri to their house in Mayapur. And Sachimata cooked herself. And Madhavendra Puri remembered that when Madhavendra Puri and Madhavendra Puri blessed them profusely. So before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, Madhavendra Puri became the guest in his father's house. Ishwar Puri also stayed in their house. And Madhavendra Puri then started for Jagannath Puri. And on the way, he stopped at Remuna. And in Remuna, there is a beautiful deity of Gopinath. And not very big, about this big deity, but beautiful deity. So Madhavendra Puri arrived at the time in the evening, and he chanted and danced in front of the deities. And then it was a time, then he inquired from the pujaris what they offered Gopinath. So they said that at night they offered Amrita Keli. So he asked what was Amrita Keli? And they explained that Amrita Keli is a kind of a condensed milk. And Madhavendra Puri thought that if he could get the taste of Amrita Keli, then he could also offer this Amrita Keli to Gopal, to his Gopal. But immediately he realized that the offering hasn't yet been made, and he already wanted to have the taste of that. So he felt very guilty. He started to chastise himself. I'm so lusty. That even before Krishna accepted it, I wanted to eat it myself. So in great lamentation, Madhavendra Puri left that place immediately. And about a quarter of a kilometer away, there was a marketplace. And in India, the marketplaces used in the villages used to be completely empty at night. No one lives there. The marketplace used to take place twice a week, and people would bring their commodities, the vendors would bring their commodities, and they would sit there during the day, sell their commodities, and in the evening they would go back. So marketplaces are usually empty at night. Not usually, they used to be empty at night. So Madhavendra Puri went to that place, marketplace, and he sat down and started to chant. So in the meantime, the pujari, he put the deities to sleep and he went to sleep himself. And when he fell asleep, Gopinath appeared to the pujari and asked him to wake up. So pujari asked, "Why do you want me to wake up in the middle of the night?" So Gopinath said, "I have a devotee and you give him some kheer, give him some Amrita Keli kheer." So pujari said, "But I distributed all the kheer at night, so nothing is left." Then Gopinath said, "No, one pot is still there. I kept it hidden behind my cloth. So you take that and give it to Madhav." So the pujari woke up, got up, and he took a bath, went to the temple room, and he saw that behind Gopinath's cloth there was a pot of kheer. So he could understand that this Madhav Puri must be a great devotee of Gopinath. So much so that Gopinath personally stole kheer for him. So he went to Madhav Puri, he went to the marketplace and started calling, Madhavendra Puri, Madhavendra Puri, are you here? And then he saw that someone is chanting Hare Krishna, sitting there. So he went to him and asked him, are you Madhav Puri? He said, yes. He said, please accept this kheer. Then he asked, why are you bringing me the kheer at night? He said, because Gopinath stole this kheer for you and he woke me up and asked me to bring it to you. So Madhavendra Puri immediately fell down on the ground and started to cry, remembering the mercy of Krishna. That Krishna is so merciful that he remembered his desire that he wanted to have this kheer. And although he left the place, Krishna personally sent the kheer to him. And so Madhavendra Puri ate the kheer and he broke the pot into small pieces, tied it up in his chadar, and he used to take this pot, he used to eat that clay pot every day. Small piece of this clay he used to eat. So then Madhavendra Puri considered that if the village people get to know that the pujari will obviously tell them that Gopinath stole kheer for him, and all the people would come to see him. So Madhavendra Puri decided to leave that place at that night, because the Vaishnav doesn't want name and fame, pratishtha. So Madhavendra Puri left immediately, left the place. And it has been described that although the Vaishnavas don't want any name and fame or pratishtha, but pratishtha runs after Vaishnava. Although Vaishnavas don't want it, pratishtha runs after them. Although devotees do not want name and fame, automatically they become famous. As if fame personified runs after Vaishnavas to serve them. So then Madhavendra Puri came to Nilachal, Jagannath Puri, and he was asking different people for some sandalwood and camphor. Now the news reached to the king that a great devotee has come who wants some sandalwood and camphor. So the king called him and he gave him a lot of sandalwood and camphor. And seeing that he was an old man, he gave a carrier to go with him, carry it for him. So Madhavendra Puri started for Vrindavan, and on the way he stopped at Ramuna again, and Pujari recognized him that, oh, here is the person for whom Gopinath stole kheer. Actually, after that incident, Gopinath became known as Kheerchor Gopinath, Gopinath who stole kheer. And Nityananda Prabhu narrated the story of how Gopinath stole kheer when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to Jagannath Puri after taking sannyas. So they also stopped at Ramuna in Kheerchor Gopinath temple. So Madhavendra Puri then stayed there for that night. And at night, Gopal appeared to him and told him, Madhavendra Puri, you don't have to carry this wood all the way to Vrindavan. You make paste of this wood and apply this sandalwood paste mixed with camphor in the body of Gopinath. And if you do that, then my body will become soothed. So, for that month of summer, Madhavendra Puri decided to stay there. And yeah, he told the pujaris about the dream. The pujaris immediately accepted that proposal. And they had four people making sandalwood pulp, and then they smeared that in the body of Gopinath. And for one whole month, Gopinath was smeared in sandalwood every day. And that's how Gopal actually felt cool. So then Madhavendra Puri went back to Vrindavan after that. And he spent his last days in Vrindavan. Madhavendra Puri also met Nityananda Prabhu. Actually, Nityananda Prabhu also was, I don't know whether Nityananda Prabhu was initiated by Madhavendra Puri, but it is said that he accepted Madhavendra Puri as a spiritual master. And now the other person that we wanted to talk about is Srinivas Acharya. So Srinivas Acharya appeared after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. Actually, Srinivas Acharya appeared as the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srinivas Acharya's father's name was Gangadhar Chakravarti. He was a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Once he was going to see, although he heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he never met him. So he used to live in a place called Chakhandi on the bank of the Ganges in Bengal. And so one day he was going to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he set out for Mayapur, and he was also acquainted to Keshav Bharati. So he decided to spend the night. On the way, he would stop there at night to spend the night, and then the next day he would leave for Mayapur. So when he came close to Kantaknagar or Katwa, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, where Keshav Bharati's ashram was, he was told, he saw that many people were walking towards Kantaknagar. So he asked why so many people were walking in that direction. So they told that they got the news that Nimai Pandit of Navadvip has come to Kantaknagar, so they were going to see him. So he became very happy that, oh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Kantaknagar, so I am also going there, so I'll get to see him. So he asked others where he was going to stay, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to stay, where could he get his darshan. So they said that there Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the house of Keshav Bharati. So he became even more excited. Oh, I'm also thinking of staying there. So, but when he arrived in the house of Keshav Bharati, he got to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to take sannyas from Keshav Bharati. So he became very, very heartbroken. And he saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sitting down, and one barber, Madhu Napit, was about to shave his head. It has been described that Madhu Napit was crying, and with the tears he soaked the hair of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And after shaving his head, he threw away his razor, and he decided not to shave anybody. And by Mahaprabhu's order, he actually became a sweetmeat maker. He gave up his occupation as a barber and he became a sweetmeat maker. And seeing Mahaprabhu taking sannyas, Gangadhar Chakravarti became mad in separation, that he will not see him again. Because those days when somebody used to take sannyas, he used to leave his home for good and nobody would ever see him. So Gangadhar Chakravarti became very heartbroken, and he was just all the time he was simply calling out by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by his name that Krishna Chaitanya, Krishna Chaitanya. And everybody thought that this Brahmin became mad. Like sometimes he cries, sometimes he dances, sometimes he laughs, sometimes he screams, sometimes he rolls in the ground. So people thought that he became raving mad. But others could understand that yes, he has become mad in love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they started to call him Chaitanya Das. So since then he got the name Chaitanya Das. So Chaitanya Das at one time went to Jagannath Puri to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu along with his wife. His wife's name was Lakshmi Priya, and he went to Jagannath Puri and they met Mahaprabhu. And after meeting them, Mahaprabhu told Sharad Damodar,